Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey everybody, welcome, and thank you for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. My name is Zach. I'm here with Laura. It is Sunday night. Usually we record on Thursday mornings, but we've been kind of caught up in a bunch of travel and scheduling and holidays. We're on the back end of Thanksgiving. We both have a little bit of a hangover just from being around people and kind of being lazy, to be honest. And we're both going through a little bit of it. We're both kind of having capacity issues for different reasons. That shows up in our conversation. It showed up between the two of us, and we get to repair a little bit of that today. We get to hear about a fight that Laura and Ryan had, which is unusual. I feel like they don't have very many, so I was glad to hear about it. I think you will be too. We're just wandering around a little bit. There's not really a lesson in here apart from the value of repair and how important it is to both seek it out and also allow it to happen. I trust there'll be a takeaway or two in here for you. This is a very cool conversation. Stick around.
Now, that was actually exactly what I was thinking about today as I was like driving here and thinking, okay, we're going to record this podcast, which I very intentionally asked not to have our visuals recorded because I have not worn makeup or done my hair.
Well, it's the weekend. It's like,
and right now I think I resemble like maybe a 90s rapper. Is there any like, what do you think?
Yeah, you got a little Eminem going on.
A 90s male rapper. Yeah.
We're like, okay, people, it's Sunday after Thanksgiving. So it's been a 4-day weekend.
It's a little bit of like a hangover, but it's not an alcohol hangover. For me, it's like an emotional hangover.
Yeah. What did you do for Thanksgiving?
Anybody else have that?
Probably a lot of people have that, Lala. Yeah.
I know. I'm not the only... Well, did you do Christmas with... Thanksgiving. Did you do that? I just got done. I was with my mom. This is the reason why we couldn't record. I had like a break in the middle of the day where I'm unavailable. Is that I went to my mom's house and I put up all her Christmas decorations with her.
Oh, that was nice of you.
We created wonderful family memories. I have pictures. I'm documenting. We do the whole thing. We did eggnog, which is, you might hear it in my speech that there is some eggnog in me. I made soup.
I put up my Christmas lights this weekend. And
that is a feat. We just pay people. We're like, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to be dangerous.
I used to be pretty simple, but then we had these neighbors move in next to us and they like go all out. Like he puts a harness on and climbs up on his roof. He's that guy. And so I slowly have been getting more and more stuff. And now I finally got, I think I'm like the gaudiest house on our block, which is really fun. And also I made it so that my Alexa,
don't say, she hears me right now, don't say her name. She's like Voldemort.
She'll turn them off. I can be like, Alexa, turn on my Christmas lights, and she will
do it.
Because I'm in the backyard. I don't want to be, I don't want to turn them off.
But it's pretty amazing. So
like
bad.
I've crossed the threshold to handyman status, which basically is just buying the right thing and plugging it in the right place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you might get a hand ski from it, from your wife, because you're so handy. Get it?
That's clever.
That is clever.
We had Thanksgiving at our house. It was just me and Rebecca and her mom and Mary. And the four of us had a nice, quiet little dinner together. And yeah. We watched the parade and we just kind of hung out, laid pretty low. And then I kind of laid low the rest of the weekend, except it was our mutual friend's birthday yesterday. And I spent the whole day with him and
Happy
his adventure
birthday.
Quest. It had stages. His birthday party had stages. Yeah. Like you
Why?
Could come for one
it's
or
not
all
like he
of
was
the stages.
A special number, right?
No, it's not a special number. It's just, he wanted to hike at night and he wanted to eat sushi and he went out on the boat and he had a church service that
things.
He went to. And it was
nice.
Pretty fun, but I'm exhausted, dude. I don't like being around people and it was a lot.
Oh, gosh. Because I can hear my laugh in my headphones. That was a full on like old man smoker's laugh. It went on. have we recorded since my husband's birthday? Probably not.
No, we were supposed to record that morning, but you conveniently forgot.
We that was are a not going to talk about that.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
You were very busy on that day and we called an audible till today.
Yeah, there was a full-on mulligan. That was actually quite distressing for some of you. You have heard through some of like the ups and downs of Zach and I's relationship. And that was a down for me. I think it probably hurt me more than it hurt you, I'm guessing. Well, maybe not. You don't know the other side of it. So like on my behalf, we had a really hard conversation. May not have seemed like it was hard for me, but I took it to heart. And it actually folds in a little bit to what I wanted to talk about, because leading up to my husband's birthday, I wanted to throw him just an epic 40th birthday party. And I did. I did it up. Right. It felt like a wedding, to be perfectly honest, like on my behalf, like what it takes to plan from beginning to end to have 22 people in another city in one venue with a chef coordinated with like different venue changes, all of that. So I coordinated 22 people staying in a house with dinner out, dinner in, chef, the whole nine yards. And it just took a lot of energy. And it was amazing, but I didn't realize the emotional toll that it took in order to plan something like that. And there's just been like a lot of things kind of leading up. And you basically said, you said these words to me during our argument. You said, you need to get your head on straight and then we can reconvene, basically. And if you can hear my pup whining in the background, that'll remind you not to get a dog.
Yeah.
So that's how I felt. Like I felt like my head was not screwed on straight. And it was kind of like a little bit of a smack in the head of like, Laura, you really are kind of pushing the limit of what you're able to take on. Because a lot of stuff was falling out, but there's not very many people in my life that are going to point me in the direction of saying, hey, you're dropping the ball in this area, this area, this area. But when you basically paused me and said, slow down for a second, you need to get your head screwed on straight because you're dropping the ball with me and you are a big chunk of my life. And I was just like, shit.
Yeah.
Yes. It's so true. I haven't been able to run on all cylinders. And so I'm on the other side of it. And that's actually what I wanted to talk about today, because I kind of had this epiphany talking to my mom a little bit about how she was talking about this guy in her neighborhood. And she said his wife died a couple weeks ago, right before Thanksgiving. And he was just kind of like out wandering around in the street in his socks, just really disoriented. And she doesn't know this person, like hasn't met him. She knew of him. The neighbors had said, hey, we're really all kind of concerned about this neighbor. He lost his wife. He's in his mid-50s. He's your age, right? And he's super disoriented.
Well, I'm not in my mid-50s.
So my mom went out.
Turned 50. So like if I'm in my mid-50s, then Ryan's in his mid-40s.
All right. So. Fair enough. He's in his mid-50s. You guys are in the same decade, right? Yep. You're like 4 or 5 years from where he's at.
Yeah.
And I said to my mom, you know, I think we need to have him over for cards. We need to like invite him over. I think maybe she said, I'm going to have coffee with him. I'm going to chat with him. She has this whole history of being able to deal with and speak with people in pain. And she's an ex-chaplain and military. And anyway, and it kind of dawned on me that we go through moments in life where there's times where people take care of you. And then there's times when you take care of others. And I was in a place of like really struggling and being very self-centered the last few weeks. And now I feel like I'm on the other side of it. And now I'm able to take care of others. And the first question that I wanted to have for you today was basically like, how can I help? How can I be a service? What can I do for you, Zach? There's no way that I've been in that space in the last 3 weeks where I've been able to even think about you. Just haven't.
I mean,
I'm being really like honest in that.
Yeah.
It's a weird space, but that's kind of one area that I wanted to lean into.
Yeah. I think, you know, we were chatting before we got on, like a little bit of a perfect storm, right? Like you were all over the place. You had all these balls in the air and trying to juggle things. And you and I actually have more projects right now than we typically have. Like, we usually are like, hey, we can kind of just log on and do our thing. But we've got this other thing that's kind of taking our attention. I've been in a down cycle with regard to my own cyclical depression. The joke that Laura made a little bit earlier, you guys, was one of the things that I was doing while contemplating how like sad my life was I thought about getting a dog. I was like, man, I must be in bad shape because I hate,
we know how much, I'm, if you go back and if you're like, yeah, if you're like a loyal listener,
so even
you
to think
know.
About it was like, so I think it's actually very kind for you to say, well, how can you be of help? And the reality is there's really not much you or I can do. And I think that's sometimes just the reality of, well, in particular a depressive cycle. But I think one of the things that we do really well is just sort of go, hey, here's the reality and here's what has to happen. And that is, that doesn't have to be relational. Like, I think we can drop the ball for each other a little bit and come back and go, okay, how do we clean this up? And, so I think, you know, one of the things that you left out of your story was that you did text me kind of when you got back, a very specific apology about, kind of where your head was at and what was going on for you. And I appreciated that a lot. And yeah, and I think now we just got to get kind of back on track. For me, when I'm clicking and when I'm getting my stuff taken care of, then I feel good. I think the other thing too, maybe actually this is maybe the more fair thing to say, to be honest, I need to be in a relationship with people who do what they say they're going to do. And so if you want to know how to help me, then just like do what you say you're going to do. And then
follow
I can
through.
Like check it off my list. I don't have to. And I think that's probably true for all people. Like, people need to be able to trust their people. But I think, you're one of the top five women in my life. I got a wife and two daughters, and I got a mom, and I got some whatever. And all three of my wives, and then you, are prone sometimes to say, yep, I'm going to do this. And then they don't do it. And I have to manage that for myself. Like, because I can't just fly off the handle or be a big jerk about it. I have to just kind of manage. And if you want to help me manage, then do what you say you're going to do. And that's hard when you're spread emotionally thin and you've got holidays and you've got people to worry about and parties to carry off. And, so I didn't think too much about it. I actually didn't think it was an argument. The phone call that we had, it wasn't an argument. It was just like
it hit me though. Like, I definitely walked away and I shared it with Ryan. I was like, hey, I got in a fight with Zach today and he told me to screw my head on straight and it didn't feel very good. And he said, what are you going to do? Like, it was a major, major thing. But it's interesting cause I've actually thought a lot about it. Which is, I'm guessing that you probably are like, Laura doesn't have the time of day to think about me. Cause that's 100% like what I was putting out was, you're not important to me. I don't do the things I'm saying I'm going to do. I tell you I'm going to do something, I don't follow through. Like, I get that on your side. My guess is that you probably felt like I'm the lowest of priorities to Laura. And yes, 100%. 2 weeks ago, I had a lot of shit going on. And like, this was very much so a very low priority to me. However, after our talk, very high priority. And I was, and it kind of was one of those like learning moments where I was thinking about like, why is it that I broke Zach's trust? Said I was going to do something, followed through 0% of the time, broke his trust. He was disappointed in me. Couldn't rely on me. What was it? Was it because I don't care? Absolutely not. Did it hurt my feelings? Like, did I hurt because I wasn't able to follow through? 100%. So what was it? And I realized it's because I want to do all the things. Like, when I'm spiraling and I have a lot of shit on my plate, I keep saying, yes, I'll do that for you. Yep. I got it. No problem. Yep. I can do it. I have a hard time saying no, and I have a hard time disappointing people. And so I will overcommit myself. And then in the end, I'll disappoint myself and other people 100% more than what I intended to do. Had I just had boundaries and said, I can't do it. I don't have time to do it. It's not on my, you know, I can't get it done, whatever it might be. So I've been thinking a lot about that, but the biggest piece that I like keep coming back to is you and I have been in relationship with each other and we've been through cycles where I've been super productive. You've been down. Uh-huh. I have been disinterested. You have been incredibly motivated and we have filled the gaps for each other. But what happens when we're both down? Because I think we've experienced what happens when we both get down and we're both unmotivated or we're disappointing each other. And in relationships, I'm like, what happens if neither of you are interested in leaning in or you don't have the capacity? Maybe it's not about interest. It's the capacity to lean in.
Yeah, it's a great question. I kind of want to reflect on two things. I hope that you feel or that you've gotten a sense of like reconnective repair with me. And since that phone call, like I'm not out here like cataloging things or trying to like make you be other. I mean, I think again, we've done enough life together to kind of appreciate that. I think, yeah, I had that experience. It was like thing one, thing two, thing three, all hit the ground. And I was like, okay.
WTF, Laura.
And I meant it. I was just like, you gotta pull it together. You gotta like pull it together and get your head on straight. And then we can figure out what we're going to do next. But there was no use trying to do that in the meantime. And that wasn't actually me being angry. It was more like me being kind. And so I'm sorry that it felt like a fight, because I definitely could have been like, what the, I have so much access to my anger right now. Like it's heroic for me to not be losing it every 5 minutes. I'm just saying, in fact,
such a fun way to describe it. I have so much access. It is heroic that I am just like putting it on the shelf for this.
Absolutely,
this
is.
Moment.
Not even this moment, but like the other day, Rebecca and I got into something in the kitchen, and I lost it. I mean, I haven't behaved like that in years. I just said stuff, and I like pointed my finger, and I got big in her face, and I was just exhausted afterward. I was like, "Holy cow, what was that? Where did that come from?" I had to take a nap. I was like, "Reb, I'm so sorry. Like, I." That is, none of that is real. That's just like, anyway, that's totally different. But, so I hope that you got that, because again, yes, it was annoying and whatever else, but also like, I understand how life works and that people have to go through their cycles.
No, I felt repaired immediately. Like, I don't feel like this is even a repair conversation. I 100% felt repaired when I sent you the text and you read it and you're like, thank you for that. And that was that, like we were over it. Hey friends, 'tis the season to give, and today I am giving you the gift of Dipsy. It's a way to brighten your day, put a little pep in your step, and turn the volume up on your erotic being. Dipsy is an app of erotic short stories written by women for women. I can filter through the erotic storyline to find exactly what I'm searching for with the very specific actors that I want, whether it be a British voice or a Latina voice, or maybe I'm searching for something more romantic, or involving BDSM or forbidden love. Dipsy has it all, and it continues to add short stories weekly. So for listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day trial when you go to dipsystories.com/MTR. That's a 30-day full access for free when you go to Dipsy. It's spelled DIPSEA stories.com/MTR. dipsystories.com/MTR. Hey friends, I have been so grateful for our podcast sponsor, Every Plate. If you're wondering like, hey, wait, Laura, how could you betray Green Chef like that? Well, here's some fun news. Our sponsor, Every Plate, has come together under one company with Green Chef and HelloFresh. The difference is that this is the budget-friendly version. Okay, so my day starts at 5:30 a.m., and it's a whirlwind of work, soccer, hockey, piano lessons, track workout, podcasting, and it doesn't come to rest until one very peaceful moment in the kitchen by 6 p.m. every night. I feel like the only time that I get to shut my brain off and just enjoy the process is when I'm pulling out my meal kit by Every Plate, and all I have to do is just follow the recipe card. I don't have to think about what I'm making. It's just there, and I get to serve my family a lovely curated meal for dinner. Check this out. We made the most delicious balsamic apple pork chops last night with roasted zucchini and rice. So if you've ever wondered how much time and money you can save with Every Plate, but you haven't pulled the trigger yet, here's the incentive. You can get started with Every Plate for just $1.49 per meal plus $1 steaks for life by going to everyplate.com/podcast and enter the code 49MTR. Subscriptions must be active to qualify and redeem dollar stakes. The website again is everyplate.com/podcast and the code is 49MTR.
The question you're asking though really is, I think it's a critical one in this way. I will tell clients that I think therapy in particular is useless if both partners don't show up with the desire and the capacity to lean in. And I'm not, that's not a threat to them. It's more like, if you want this to work, you have to show up with an intent to lean in. And if you can't, we have to evaluate whether or not you don't want to, or you're not able to.
Yeah.
And those, you could be both. You could be one or the other. And if you've got two people who don't want to, or two people who aren't able to, then I think you do have to invite them into self-care. You have to invite them into the hard, introspective, reflective conversations about whether or not there is room to make this relationship work or make this moment work. You know, like the moment I was describing with Rebecca, like I wanted to, but I could not repair or lean in after I had like kind of emotionally vomited all my anger. I just had to, I mean, literally crawled in the bed. I was like, she's like, what are you doing? I was like, I can't even, I have got to go away. Like I've got to hibernate for a little while. But that was self-care, right? Like that was what was required in that time. It wasn't rejection. It wasn't stonewalling. It wasn't, you know, punitive. It was like, I got to go do this other thing. So I think if you're asking me the question, what do you do if neither partner can lean in or wants to lean in? I think each of those individuals needs to look internally at what's going on. And for lack of a better phrase, and without rubbing it in, get their heads on straight, like screw their heads on straight and figure out like, what am I capable of right now? And sometimes it's not much, and that can be okay. That just, again, I'd rather you say, can't do it. I'll be like, great. Now I know I can breathe. I can be like, I'm going to go watch a movie. You know,
it is kind of one of those refreshing moments in therapy where you kind of strip away whatever masks people are hiding. And you basically are like, is it a capacity issue or is it a want issue? Like, let's kind of just identify what's going on here. And I think what you and I are experiencing or were experiencing was kind of a capacity issue, right? Like one of you might be experiencing just a dip in your depression or like a cycle, like you're there.
Yeah.
One of you might have a capacity of just being completely overwhelmed and anxious ridden. And it's a capacity issue. You don't have the capacity to lean in. I have a lot of relationships that come to me and I say, tell me the history of your relationship. Tell me about like what brings you to therapy. And they say, Laura, we talked about therapy 6 years ago, 3 years ago, 6 months ago, and today. And I was like, great. Who started the conversation 6 years ago? Well, that was him. Well, why weren't you interested in doing therapy? Because she didn't want to, right? And so they kind of trade in flip-flop places. And you see these cycles where people are like, I was leaning in, then he wasn't. And then he was leaning in and I didn't have the capacity because I was overwhelmed with work and I had just had a baby and I had post-maternal, all of this issue going on. And it's like, man, when you look at how difficult relationships are and how you navigate the connections, how rare it is when two people are both at the capacity where they're both willing to be in the relationship and have the capacity at the same time. Those are the golden moments. And they're so few and far between. Otherwise, sometimes you're just doing like, hey, you're at 20%. No problem. I got you. I'm at 80% today. And you just kind of keep trading the 80-20 back and forth with one another until you both land on 100-100.
Well, Rebecca and I say it all the time. Collectively, we're about 100% healthy.
Yeah.
So maybe we both bring a 50 to the table, but maybe we're bringing 80 and 20 and maybe it's 99 and one.
Yeah.
Like we, it's a pattern that emerges. I think, just as a tool anyway, when I talk about desire and capacity, I always use the same metaphor. I say, if your heart's desire is to run a marathon, but you have, congenitive heart failure and arthritis in your knees, you have all the desire in the world and you don't have capacity to run that marathon.
Right.
If somebody says, hey, you want to come run a marathon with me, but you're like super into CrossFit or swimming or yoga, you might have all the capacity in the world as an athlete, but you have maybe no interest to run 26 miles in 4 hours of your afternoon. So you have the capacity, but not desire. And it has to come, like it has to be both. And I don't think you can punish either. You know, that's the thing. By the way, here's another piece of information that I know about my down cycles, and which is why it was as distressing as it was, is I can't improvise when I'm down. Like I can execute, like go put those Christmas lights up.
Your creativity is in the shitter.
Go to work
is what you're saying.
Yeah, totally. So if I'm like, I got to do this by 10 p.m., but I need Laura to do it by 9 p.m. in order for me to do it by 10 p.m. And then that doesn't happen by 9 p.m. That now I have to do a whole other thing to like recover and get back in this. And so then I start dropping stuff. So yeah, it's crazy how that works when people are in kind of like a symbiotic relationship and they're trying to make it go.
Yeah. I was telling you, I wanted to tell you about a fight that I had with my husband, which is
yes,
so
please.
Few and far. But do you want me? I almost want to invite him in. He's staring at me right now because he's rescuing the dog.
Do you know that like whenever we ask on the internet who do people want us to interview, the number one answer that always comes back is Rebecca and
Ryan.
Ryan. it's like, we want to hear from Rebecca. We want to hear from Ryan.
Okay.
So...
Well, maybe what we should do is we should play like a newlywed game where it's kind of like, how well do you know your partner, and have them tell embarrassing stories or whatever. I don't know. But I think that would be a golden
episode. I play
that
pretty regularly on the app Paired that I have with Rebecca that we use. And
yes.
If you want to play also regularly on the app Paired,
yes.
Go to paired.com/MTR and you can download it. Anyway,
yeah.
Wait, you want to play a newlywed game to do what now?
I think we should have both of them on the podcast at the same time. Or... No, where it's like the four of us and they're talking to each other and they're like maybe sharing interesting stories. I don't know. Or we just give each the spotlight and they tell stories about being married to therapists and what that's like.
I'm anxious about it. I don't know if I would want Rebecca on the podcast, but whatever.
Oh, I'm game on for Ryan.
All right. So you guys got in a fight. Are you going to tell me about this?
Yeah, it was one of those moments where I was like walking a line between real life and then being a therapist in the midst of being in this argument.
That's fun.
So did I tell you about when Dash got ran over? Dash is my bigger dog. Dash is 5 years old. He got ran over last year. Did I tell you about that?
I've never heard the story of Dash getting run over.
Okay. This is just adding some context, right? Which is always important. But Dash, I walk out the front door. I have Smidge in my arms with leash on, Dash and my son. And we have Dash's collar and his, what do you call it? His leash. And in order to walk him out of the yard, we take his e-collar off and swap it out for his normal collar because we have one of those invisible fences. Anyway, we walk out the door. He's not leashed. We're literally on the front porch. He sees a squirrel. He dashes across the street. Get it?
As dashes are wont
to do. And he gets hit by a car.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So it was one of those traumatic events where he got pulled underneath the vehicle. The car stops. I can hear the thump drag. And my heart is just pounding. And I send Holden into the house because I have an issue. Like I can't see traumatic things. Like if my son is cutting tomatoes or something and he goes, ooh, I'll immediately turn away. Like I don't want to see it.
Okay.
And so I hear the thump drag and I scream and immediately I know my dog just got hit. Long end of it is he's fine. He runs like somehow he gets swept underneath the car.
I figured it was like, would you say it was like 3 months ago?
It was like 6 months ago. But he got swept under the vehicle. I definitely had to take him to ER. He had to get, what do you call it? Like checked out. He had stitches, all of that, but he didn't get hit, or pulled under the wheels of the car. He swept underneath so he had a bunch of road rash and all of that. And he was definitely sore. Anyway, this is the context. So now I have Smidge. Smidge is our one-year-old mini wiener dog, and she has run away from me twice now, and she will just go off leash, and then she'll just run, and she'll run and run and run, and she'll chase deer, and she'll go across streets, like main streets, all of that. Super scary. I'm on a walk with Ryan, and he drops the leash twice on the walk because he thinks it's funny because I freak out. Mm-hmm. We're in the middle of like the golf course area. He drops the leash. I run after her. I get her. I turn to him and I was like, you cannot do that. She will run. She's left me twice. It's been terrifying. I've called him on the phone. I lost Smidge. She's gone. Can't find her. Anyway, like 30 minutes later, she finds her way back home. But anyway, he drops the leash again, second time on the run, and she books it. And I'm at a dead sprint across the whole green. And I probably run for a minute straight. And I finally get her just as she's about to cross the street. And I grab the leash and I turn to him and I say the most vile things. I am so activated at this point because I'm like, you have no idea. This dog's life could have been the end. It could have been the end. So I say these hurtful things to him. Holden's with us. And he turns to me and he says something like, completely dismissing of my feelings, right? And so all of a sudden I go into therapist brain and I say to him something along the lines of, he says, like, you're overreacting. It's fine. Calm down, which is one of those things where it's like, if you would love to just stir the pot a little bit more with your, with your partner, say those words exactly. You're overreacting. It's fine. And he's laughing, like literally laughing at my reaction, which is nearly in tears. And I'm angry and I'm saying mean things to him. And I'm telling him how angry I am at him for dropping the leash and letting the dog run because he thinks it'll be funny to watch me sprint after her. And he says, Holden, we're just going to let mom go ahead. She needs to calm down. She's flooded. This is how conversations go in a therapist household. I don't know if this is how it works with you and Rebecca between the two of you.
Wait, you said this or he said this?
He says, Holden, we're going to let mom go ahead. She's flooded. She needs to calm down. I was like, that's a great idea.
None of these are on the
repair
checklist. Yeah. I mean, it's probably the right idea.
I was like, that is a really great idea. So I take Smidge and I walk forward. And I'm calming down. I'm in my therapist brain. I'm thinking about the whole thing. Like, why am I so activated? Yes, I'm activated. I acknowledge it. And then I realize there's this backstory in that he thinks it's funny because he doesn't have the same experiences that I've had of being out in pitch black, chasing a 9-pound dog around like a busy intersection, trying to make sure that she doesn't get hit. Like, he hasn't had those experiences. He hasn't taken the dog to the emergency room because they got hit by a car. So I'm activated, but there's like this experience of watching our dog run for a road does not activate him at all. There's no sense of concern. And I'm having this whole epiphany while this is going on. And so I said hurtful things. He said, you're flooded. Go walk away. I walk away. When we rejoin, he said, I'm sorry I made you feel that way. Or something like that. I'm sorry that you feel that way. I was like, oh, it's a shitty, shitty repair. I'm going to let him try again. And I think I even said something along the lines of, I think you're going to need to give that one another shot. And he said, and then I explained, I think, basically, like, I understand that you have not had the same experience that I have had. Like, you haven't chased dogs through the streets. You haven't taken the dog to the emergency room. Like, you don't know what it feels like, blah, blah, blah. I get that. So this is like high alert, 5-alarm issue for me. And maybe it was really funny for you because you got to see the dog do this. I get it. And anyway, we came into, he repaired again. He apologized again. And then my son said, don't worry, mom, or don't worry, dad. Mom's fine. Do you know the acronym for fine?
I think it's yes. It's like,
okay. I'm going to use the PG version. It's freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional.
Yeah.
So we've taught Holden the acronym for fine. And he goes, dad, it's fine. Mom's fine. And he whispers loud enough for me to hear, too soon for a humorous repair right now, son. And I laughed so loud. And that was the end of the argument. But I will tell you that it was one of those moments where I was like, dang, I wish I had all of this on film because it played out so well. And I rarely have like arguments with Ryan where it's like picture perfect, where there's a moment where I do something that I regret. Then I have to like have a little context, then I have to repair. And it just all played out. And I just wanted to share that with you. I don't know if it played out as well on your end. It was probably 10 minutes too long.
It sounds like when you had repair, when he attempted repair that you hadn't agreed about, so relax, calm down, it's fine, that was problematic. Yeah. But then when you found language that you agreed about or that you had shared or that you had come up with, that you readily found your way back. I think that's actually kind of brilliant, to be honest. Like, if we can go through and explain line by line why everything is troubling, or we can just agree that that is troubling and it's time to like put that aside and, you know, find your way back to, stasis, I guess.
Yeah.
And he did that well? Is that the end of the story? Is that he did that well?
Yeah. I mean, I think the end of the story is just that I rarely have moments where I get to share where it's like, man, I blew up at my husband. Like I almost intentionally blew up at him because I am a little conflict avoidant and I really wanted to be very intentional about telling him like, it is not okay for you to drop the leash for the dog and let the dog run free for like a hunt. I chased her for like 200 yards, like two football fields.
Yeah.
And I basically like forced myself to be vocal with him and say, this is not okay. This is really activating to me. There's things happening that you don't understand that you don't know. And like, I want you to know, like, this doesn't happen for me, but this is what's going on inside. I'm really angry right now. So, I mean, I think that him being able to say she's really flooded and maybe we need to separate and like, you need to go a separate direction was really smart. We haven't gotten flooded like that in a really long time. And I'm glad that he realized it because I don't think I would have been able to say, I need to go away. Like he said, for me, I think you need to go walk ahead of us and we'll meet up with you in 20 minutes. That was really well done. And he tried several times. He tried to repair a couple of times and I was unreceptive to the first one. Cause I was like, that doesn't sound it doesn't sound like you understand what I went through. And I wasn't ready to repair with him yet. I was like, nope, you don't get it. You haven't taken the time to understand my point of view yet. So I'm going to share it with you again. And then finally, like the repair did work. But it was sort of one of those moments where I was like, man, this would be a really good, role play. Like if when we are teaching, we should do this as a role play. Cause it worked out really well.
Well, and I think that, you know, one of the things that we say all the time, and it sounds like you found permission to do was allow his repair attempts to be successful, even if they were a little clumsy. Like you didn't actually reject the first one. You're like, I think you're gonna need to try that again, as much as to say, okay, cool. And here's what needs to happen next.
Yeah.
Or here's what it needs to happen additionally.
And yes, I do say that that is likely because one, our son was with us. I think a lot of, well, I hope that parents are on their best behavior when their children are present. I mean, I think you don't necessarily have to be on your best behavior when other adults are present, but kids are so impressionable and they're incredibly egotistical that when mom and dad fight, they're not going to automatically assume mom and dad are fighting because mom and dad are having issues. They're going to assume it's because of them.
That's a good point.
And so I hope that parents are on their best behavior when they're in front of their kids, the way that I was in the way that I said, the things that I said to my husband was still buffered that I had 8-year-old ears listening. I also wanted to bring this up because I knew we were going to repair. And I knew the repair was going to happen in front of our son. It's like sometimes I need for him to see that when I feel strongly about something, it's okay to bring it up. It's okay to say, this is hurting my feelings and it's really causing me pain. And I need you to know this so that you don't do it again. Yeah. I actually thought that was a choice I made.
You need him to see that, but also you need to see that. Like this idea of you being conflict avoidant, if you think a tense conversation is an argument,
right,
or a firm conversation is an argument, then that is this extra layer of like, no, it's just people like kind of talking about what they need and what they want. And if you need to learn how to do that, I endorse, I support that for you.
Yeah.
With him, not with me.
Although it is interesting. I mean, you've definitely, I wouldn't necessarily tell people like, I'm conflict avoidant, but the way that you have made these two conversations sound is in my mind, they're big, massive moments to me that I will remember. Like I will remember this moment in our relationship for sure.
That phone call from a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're probably like, that was no big deal. That was nothing to me. But for me, it was definitely something that stuck with me. I processed through it with several people that know you, that know me. And it was just like, that was a big deal for me.
Even there's though people that know us both. There's only one person that knows us both.
Oh, no, there's plenty of people. Well, people that know of you where I can process like my good girlfriend, Becky and Ryan. Yeah. And like, there's plenty of people that know of you in my life, my parents, all of that.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. Well, why don't we land this plane? Because we got some other stuff that we got to tick off of our list, and I got things to do. Yeah. So
this was a unique recording because normally we record on Thursdays at like morning. 8 a.m. and yeah. It is a Sunday at 7 p.m. and I had to text Zach and I was like, I'm going to be asleep by 8. So we got to get this ball rolling.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy all the things that are coming up here real soon. And we'll look forward to catching you next week or something.
I love it. All right. Toodles. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. Just in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I am really thankful to all of our listeners. I was thinking about this today as I was driving back from Portland, of just the fact that Zach and I get to do what we like to do. We like to just get together. We like to talk about things that are important to us. We like to process our own lives and our own relationships. And there's people out there that are loyal listeners or have listened a few times and have shared it with their friends. I'm just really grateful for all of you. I'm grateful that we can continue to do what we want to do. Grateful for our sponsors. So thank you. Thank you for all of your time and your attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.